We're going to get this thing cracking. I will introduce this new communion cup here. If you've never partaken of the communion from these cups, they're a little bit different. As you can see, they're contained. There's two layers on these. And the pink layer on top, which reveals the body. And then that way your juice, the blood, doesn't spill out, you know? So then there's a foil layer that you peel off, and that's what you get your juice from. So it's a little bit different, but it's much more convenient. That way, if you want to take it somewhere else, you want to go off, just you and Jesus hanging out, and you want to take communion, then you're less likely to spill it all over the carpet or your children or whatever it may be. But our communion table is over here. If anyone wants to participate during service, during worship, whenever you feel the Lord is drawing you towards him. We have our offering box right here, which, same story, if you just feel God's leading you to give, then come on up and give. So if you guys would stand up here, we're going to read from Psalm 23. And then I have a question for you guys. Psalm 23, NLT. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord. He says, you prepare a feast for me, verse 5, in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. And I was struck with this question, well, what are you feasting on? And too often we get in the valley of the darkest valley, we are surrounded by our enemies and we begin feasting on anxiety. We begin feasting on fear. We begin feasting on lies. But this reminds us, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. God is preparing a feast for us. Even though we're all surrounded by enemies, we've all had attacks on our lives this week. We know there's a spiritual battle for our souls every day, every moment. And this morning, we've gathered here in this place. We've come to offer our time to God. We've come to offer our worship to God. And this morning, if you guys would, choose to feast on him. Feast on his love this morning. Because the natural byproduct of knowing how loved you are is worshiping him. The second question, this is just out of left field, is, are you on a diet or are you on a lifestyle? Because there's plenty of people who call themselves Christians that are on a diet. And they, when they fail, when they screw up, when they sin, they go, oh, I went back to my normal way. Does that make sense? You guys track with that? When you're on a diet, you're trying something out. You're like, well, I'm going to temporarily do this thing because I'm hoping that it has an effect on something. But when you live a lifestyle, when you make a mistake, the mistake is your diet. And I just say this morning, guys, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. So as we begin to worship, just remember that God is your deliverer. He's your savior. He chose you before you chose him. And that's what unconditional love does, guys. And just receive that into your hearts. And as we begin to worship this morning, just let love pour out of you toward your Savior. So if you guys would greet somebody, give someone a squeeze, a kiss, if that's appropriate, we'll get started. Did you notice that too, Z? That's real love, when people let you know your zipper's down.
Heard a sound coming on the wind, changing hearts and minds, healing brokenness. I feel a generation breaking through despair. I hear a generation full of faith declare. And our song, it will be. Out of the darkness, we will rise and sing. He is faithful, He is glorious, and He is Jesus, and all my hope is in Him. Great love for us. So will praise Him with our lives. So, and proclaim our love for Him. He has paid the highest price, and He has proven His great love for us. We will praise Him with our lives.
Thank you.
love for us. We will praise him with our lives and proclaim our love for him. He has paid the highest price.
Thank you, Jesus.
And he has proven his great love for us. We will praise him with our lives and proclaim our love for him. Proclaim our love for him. Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest phrase, but only trust in Jesus.
Say that again, my hope.
Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
I dare
not trust in the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Cornerstone, the weak.
Your spirit good things we give them to you. Take those things and you make them beautiful. You make them beautiful. You make us beautiful. Thank you.
no striving in your love. For it's the place where I am held. You hold me in your love. You hold
Samuel, and I was reading about Hannah, and I'm going to butcher their names, so forgive me, Elkanah and Peninnah or something along those lines. Anyways, the dude had two wives. One had kids, one didn't have kids. Every year, back in the day, they would travel to the tabernacle to worship the Lord, and the one that had kids always made fun of the one that didn't have kids because she really wanted kids. And would pester her and pester her and pester her. And so Hannah cried out to the Lord, the one that didn't have children. And she said, God, I really want a kid. I really, 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 really want a kid. If you give me this kid, I will give him back to you. And basically serve in the temple all of his life. Sometimes we forget that in our struggle or in our pain or in our circumstance, we forget to look to the one who can fix the circumstance. We get so focused on what's going on in front of us that we forget to say, God, if you will help me out, Father God, if you will just give me the strength, Father God, if you will just give me the peace, Father God, if you will just give me the joy, Father God, to push through, to persevere. Long story short, Hannah cried out to God in her need. God met that need and then multiplied that need by, I believe she had three sons and a daughter after Samuel was born. So when you cry out to God in your need and you're saying, God, I need you, Father God. God, my circumstance looks grim, Father God. I don't know what to do. I don't know where I'm at. I don't know where you're at right now, Father God, but I'm going to worship you through the pain. I'm going to worship you through the hurt, Father God. I'm going to worship you whether I know what's on the other side of that or not, Father God, because in our worship and in our praise is when that peace comes and that joy comes and that love comes and he just blows over you like this mighty wind. It's so powerful. It's going to just knock us on the ground and you're going to be like, God, thank you. Jesus, thank you for that. Lord, I love you. Father God, God, I pray right now, Father God, that in the need, Father God, we will remember to look to you, Father God. We will remember to push through, Father God. We will remember to focus on you, Father God, and not focus on that circumstance that we're struggling with, Father God, but to place our eyes on the Almighty, Father God, to place our eyes on you, the one who can fix it, Father God. God, I pray that right now, Father God, you will touch the hearts of the people right here, Father God, that are struggling, Lord, even the ones that aren't even here, Father God. God, I pray that in our valley, Father God, you will start to touch the hearts of the people, Father God, that are hurting, Father God. God, that are looking for something that they don't necessarily know, Father God, what they're looking for, because, God, they haven't met you yet, Father God. But I pray that as they search, Father God, that you will touch their heart. You will bring somebody across their path, Father God. Lord, we thank you so much, Father God, for who you are, Father God, for what you're doing in our hearts today, Father God. Lord, I pray that you will be with us the remainder of this service, Father God, that you will touch our hearts, Father God. Open our ears to what you have to say, Father God. Lord, I want to hear your voice today, Father God, like I haven't heard it before, Father God. speak directly to my heart, Jesus. In your name, amen and amen. Give it up for our worship team. How's everybody doing today? Good? Horrible? At least you're being real. At least you're being real. Brother Bill's going to chase me down and tackle me. How goes the battle? 30 days and no cigarettes on Tuesday. Give it up. Give it up. Come on. That's a huge accomplishment. That's awesome. Everybody ready for Thanksgiving? Who has not done your shopping yet for Thanksgiving? Raise your hand. I feel sorry for you. The day before Thanksgiving is always the absolute worst day. Well, the 2 days prior. You're going to go today? Today's pretty busy, too. You better go, 2 in the morning. 2 in the morning when everybody's asleep. Might help. If you're new, can you shoot up your hand for me real quick? If you've never been here, give it up for our new people. Welcome to the family. We're glad that you guys could be here. So Stephanie has a little bit... An announcement to make about our Africa offering. So she's going to give it up for Stephanie.
Good morning. So can I have a couple of the children come forward, please? Just a couple of the children that go downstairs. Come on. So all year these kids have been giving during their Sunday service. And I don't know if they even can remember that it was giving to for the Zimbabwe children in Africa. And so right now our total is $800. And so what Pastor Gay would like to do is try to get whatever the Lord wants to give through these children who have given. And it is sometimes hard for a child to give, but they're giving with an open heart. And so we want to maybe meet the match of you know, I can't see without glasses, but I know there's children around me. So anyhow, the thing is that December 5th will be the day that Pastor Gay will send the check, or Pastor Mike, to Africa. And their story was it was just so touching last Sunday as Pastor Gay gave the story of why she decided to give to Zimbabwe, as it had been in her heart through the year. And it's been in my heart, too, to give. And so... I've been really praying about it, just to message with Pastor Gay yesterday. When I was in bed, in a comfortable, warm bed, after an all-day shopping spree, I was like, oh, God, we have so much. We just, not to be so selfish, but we need to give to those children that don't have, but appreciate what they have. So they get a loaf of bread for Christmas. Would you guys be okay if you got a loaf of bread for Christmas? Bread. Makes a sandwich. Would you be okay with that? Mm-hmm. Okay, there. So, children, we have a couple of days until December 5th. So I want you guys to go home today through the time, and December 5th is soon, and pray about it. Parents, you know, we know it's the time to season, and this is the month of giving. We shouldn't see just November for giving, but through our years, we have to remember what God has given us, and what a blessing he continues to do for us. So the canister is adorable and cute, and the kids made it. If not, the canister is not up here. You can always put it in an envelope and just write to the Zimbabwe in there so they know where that money is going to. And then next year, let's just continue to keep this in our mind. This is just the one thing that this church is wanting to do. Sarah does a lot. And so if it's in your heart to give to something, connect with the person that is rallying that up. And so anyhow, thank you guys for giving. We're at 800. And so, you know, we'll see what the Lord has for us. Thank you, kids.
Hold on. Kids, you can stay here for a minute. Any other kids, you can come up here and we'll pray for you to go down. So, okay, it's all good. Jesus, we just pray for these kids. Father God, if you could stretch your hands towards our kids. Father God, we thank you for them, Lord. I pray that you will just touch their hearts, Father God. This is the next generation, Father God. I pray that they will be even better than what we are, Father God, that you will impart wisdom and grace, Father God, on their lives. Touch them as they go, Father God, in your name. Amen and amen. So let's try and get that, I was thinking of $1,000 that we could send. That'd be a good number. We're at 800, so $1,000 isn't too much. I mean, if everybody in here gave $5, we'd probably make it to 1,000. So, I mean, that's a coffee or whatnot. Some corn dogs at the mini mart and a pop. It ain't hard. Moses likes corn dogs. Anyways, so Brother Moses is going to come up and he's going to give the word today. So give it up for Moses. Can I pray for you really quick? Lord, I just pray that you will just impart your heart upon Moses, Father God, like you already have. I pray that as he opens his mouth, Father God, that you will fill it with your words, Father God, that he will rely on you, Father God, and trust what you have to say, Father God, in your name. Amen.
Thank you. No, that's fine.
You don't want it?
No. I'm good. I think. Bless you all this morning. As Pastor asked me 2 weeks ago if I could share the message, and told him I did have some stuff on my heart. It was just all up in here and trying to put it all together. And and last week I told him, yeah, I would, you know. And I'm just going to share with you what's been on my heart, what the Lord's been putting in my heart, and what's going on, you know. We look out in the world, and there's no sense of direction from anywhere, you know. And it's a pretty sad state in what we're in, you know. We're getting into our silly season, which is our political season, you know, and everybody's running around, and you'll hear some outrageous stuff, you know, from both sides. Doesn't matter what side you'll see. But the sad part is the condition of our hearts in our churches. You know, when people are looking for leadership, they've always come to the church and to get a sense of awareness, a sense of where we need to be as a people of God. And it's sad, you know, that sometimes, you know, we look at our leaders, our political leaders, well, that we expect that from them, and them lying and have truths. But from our churches, you know, we got hit pretty hard. A lot of the social issues where it's pitted church against church belief, you know, we're backpedaling. It seems like the Church of God is backpedaling. Like, what do we do? What do we do? And I was like, God, where are you in all this, you know? You hear all this stuff going down, and you guys know the topics out there. You guys are out there, you know, and when the just a bunch of crazy stuff, you know, and, you know, the one thing that got me was, you know, I didn't comment on it or anything, was the gay marriage thing, you know. And the churches, we had some people that were outraged with it, some people backpedaling, some people going out there and condemning everybody for it. And as I was looking, you know, you flip through the channels and you see these parades going on and stuff like that, and I'm like, how sad that a person's happiness can come from a law that's been passed by man. I go, my happiness, no matter what comes down from our politics, my happiness does not depend on what comes out of Washington or Washington, D.C. or Olympia. That's not where my happiness and peace comes from. Whether a law is passed to or where I'm agreement with or I'm against, my happiness does not depend on that. It's time that we realize we are not from this kingdom. And when you live in the kingdom of God, your happiness does not depend on what goes on in this world. It does not. You grab a hold of the word of God and you apply it to your life. A lot of us have been raised in church. We know the scripture. We've quoted scripture, but have we applied it in our lives? I grew up in the church. I've been raised in the church. I've heard all the scriptures, memorized a lot of the scriptures. But the one thing where I failed was applying it in my life. I could quote it. Great. But I never applied it to my life. We only learn to apply it to our lives when we go through our struggles, when we're going through our pain and our hurt. We who have accepted Christ in our lives are no longer ignorant of the truth. We are going to be held accountable. We're held to a higher standard. This is what I tell my children every day. We are different. We are set apart. Because we know the truth. The truth is in us. And it's time that we live in that truth, no matter how hard it is. It's not an easy life, but it could be a happy life. Find that peace. God is here. He can give you that peace. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Those who are going through tough times right now, talk to the people in the church. We all have battle scars. Talk to each and every one of us. We've all had battle scars. We've all been out there. We've all gotten our butts kicked. And the other thing that gets me about the church, God is love. God is love. We all know that God is love. One thing I don't hear anymore is repentance. To get God, to reach God's peace, love, and happiness, we need to repent. It takes a lot. I've come to the Father and said, God, forgive me. I was wrong. And that's so hard to say sometimes. I was wrong. Forgive me in my rebellion. Forgive me in this. Forgive me in that. I was wrong. I made a wrong choice. Forgive me. What's he going to do? I told you. No, I told you. He does tell us before because we feel that conviction in our hearts. Don't do that, don't do that. But I want it, but I want it, but I want it. Don't do it, don't do it. He gives us that. But when we make the wrong choice, he still has the grace and love to accept us when we repent. The prodigal son's father didn't say, get out of here. Go live in the slave's quarters. Servants' quarters. No, he didn't. He brought him back into the house. But we do need to repent. I repent all the time. I am not perfect. Job repented every day of his life. It's not an evil or dirty word. It's something we have to live by. Do we make mistakes? Yes. But God is a great God to say, God, I was wrong, man. I get into my car all the time and say, God, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. Forgive me. I'm your son. That's kingdom living. That's kingdom living. God said the kingdom of God is at hand. It's right here if you want it. It's not in the heavens anymore. He came down and he says, right here if you want it. You can have that peace right here if you want it. That kingdom that's in heaven, it's right here if you want it. You can have that peace in your home. You can have it. If you desire it. If you say, I was wrong, forgive me, Father, come into my home. I want your peace. I want your love. Because against these, there's what? There's no law against that. So it doesn't matter what laws are passed through from Washington, D.C., Olympia. There's no law against love, peace, kindness, meekness, the fruit of the Spirit. There's no law against that. So it don't matter. My happiness, like I said, does not depend on the things that happen in this world. My peace wasn't given to me from this world. My peace was given to me by my Father. Here, now. Not up in heaven, now. Doesn't matter what struggles we're going through. And me and my wife, we've been through some struggles. We've been through some battles. It hasn't always been a cakewalk. But I thank God for that peace. And that love and that kindness and forgiveness and repentance. that we can fall on every single day. And it's not a dirty word, and it's not, you don't have to feel guilty to say, God, forgive me, because he forgives every single time that you go to him. And he says, forgive me. Yes, come here. Feel my love. Feel my warmth. If you haven't felt the warmth of the Father, you're missing out. There's nothing like his embrace. He wants to know every detail of your life. He wants to be a part of that. He wants to be a part of that. It's like my kids growing up. I want to be a part of every step of their lives. Even though they give me the stiff arm, Dad, you're embarrassing me, Dad. You know, when I get in my silly state, Dad, don't do that. You're embarrassing me, Dad. You know, they see me more at home. You know, of course, we're all a little looser at home. And they're like, no, Dad, don't do that. You know, I go, I'm going to do it in front of your kids, in front of your friends. No, Dad, no. You know, that's the peace and love of God. He loves you. He wants to be in every part of your life. Doesn't matter how small or how big, he is there. He is there. So all these things that are attacking us, you know, you look at that, and what's the big thing is ISIS is coming. ISIS is coming. I don't know what's going on with that, whether they come or not. But all I know is our hearts better be prepared to share the love of God. And these are difficult times. For many years, we've been sheltered from those kind of issues, you know. But it's, I was talking to my boss one day, and we were talking about the coach who got suspended for praying after a high school game there, and he was telling me how wrong it was, and I told him, you know, the good thing that's come out of this, I go, the one good thing that's come out of this, it's waking us up as Christians. It's no more gray area. It's no more gray area. You either believe or you don't. You either get in or you get out, like the Bible says. Hot, cold, in, out. It's going to make a decisive decision. You have to make a decision. We have to make a decision. We've made that decision when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. This is not controversial. This is not trivial. God is not a mysterious God. Would you hold back anything from your children? Me and my wife were talking about it this morning when my son asked me for help on math. You think I'm going to give him show him the wrong way to do it as a father? I go, I don't give him the answer, but I show him, are you following the correct steps to get the right answer? He's like, okay. How much more our father? You think our father's going to trick you or lie to you? No, he's not a father of lies. He's not a God of deceit. He's not. Our God is a great God. If you want that peace and that love, just fall in love with him again. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to ask. When you feel the embrace of the Father, that's what his love's for, is to bring us to repentance. It's the word of God says. Once you feel his love, there's no way you can live the same. Last month, me and my wife and my daughter went to my aunt's funeral. A powerful woman of God down in California. And during that time, you know, I went and I, my brother, also with my brother, Pete. We went to my dad's graveside. My dad's buried in California. And we went there, and my brother he was never in the funeral. He was in the accident, but he was never in the funeral, and he never gone to the graveside. He never, you know, and it's going to be 30 years now. And that was the first time he had been there. And man, he broke down and he let it all out. Sometimes that's what we got to do, just let it all out. And as I looked at my dad's tombstone, said, God is love. It's a simple verse. God is love. I never understood it at the time, you know, being 10 to 13 years old, never understood it. When he would say it repeatedly at the house, God is love. Dios es amor. He'd always say, Dios es amor. And he would say, because he saved the wretch like me, who didn't deserve anything. And he would say that daily, Dios es amor. Dios es amor. Every day. Because he realized what the Father had done for him. Now that I talked to my mom, you know, she was all sad because her sister had passed on, and we're talking, and she says, yeah, she goes, the last time we saw each other, her and her sisters, they all gathered around, they prayed, and they said, the next time we see each other, it'll be in heaven, rejoicing. And my aunt's up there rejoicing. And she goes, I thank God because I know without God, I would not be here. I would not have this peace. I've buried my husband. I buried two sons. I buried my sister. I buried grandkids. She goes, I know I would not have that peace without God. And I'm like, wow, Mom. She goes, and all three of us, which was her three sisters, said, we sent our alcoholic, bar hopping, woman-beaten husbands ahead of us. They're all widows. And they've all prayed for their husbands to be saved, and they were all saved, you know. I remember my aunt telling me the day that my uncle died, when he gave his life to the Lord, he became a minister, and he was a living Bible, quote, scripture after scripture after scripture. I mean, not just a chapter, but the whole book. And I'm like, wow. And my aunt says, he went peacefully with the Lord. I'm like, what do you mean? She said, I heard him talking at night. And he said, Lord, if you want me, here I am. And she goes, I thought he was just talking in his sleep. He says, yeah, I'm ready. She just heard him say, yeah, I'm ready. If you want me to take me, Lord, right now, yeah, I'm ready. We can do this. Closed his eyes. Never woke up. I go, man, I want that from the Lord. To be that close. To say, man, yeah, I'm ready. Closed his eyes and went peacefully with the Lord. But we shouldn't be afraid of heaven. That's the God we serve. He wants to be that close and that intimate with you. It doesn't matter what happens in this life. It doesn't matter what happens in this world. It doesn't happen what happens in this country, does it? The kingdom of God is at hand. It's right here if you want it. That peace is right here if you want it. There's nothing like the Father's love. Nothing. You know, and when you read more and more into it, it just opens up. And the Father just reveals more and more and more and more. There's no need to be scared. There's no need to be afraid. There's no need for the devil to steal your joy. There's no need for the devil to steal your peace. Don't let him. Stand on the word of God and said, I'm not going to let you take this. I'm not. You know, yeah, first when you get hit, you stumble back. Like, oh, man, what's going on? I remember when I was blindsided and you're just like, whoa, 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 what's going on? And when you gather your marbles, they're like, no. All of a sudden you start taking steps forward. He said, no, you get out of here. I'm going to share this. When I was 19 years old, I rededicated my life to the Lord. I remember coming back from youth camp. I remember the embrace of the Lord just grabbed me, and I couldn't stop smiling. I couldn't. We all know that feeling. You know, you just feel that peace and that joy in your life. And I was praying at night. I got home and I was praying at night. And I go to bed and all of a sudden, the room gets cold. I feel something cold over my body. And I'm paralyzed. I can't move. And then all of a sudden a voice comes in and says, "You haven't changed. You'll always be the same." And I can't speak, and I'm just in this moment of paralysis, and I'm just like, and all I could do in my mind is just cry out to God. I'm like, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." And all of a sudden it broke loose, and I run to the door to my room, and I'm going to go call my mom. Because she's always been my spiritual leader, my guidance, my everything. And I go running. I remember when I put my hand on the doorknob, the Holy Spirit just came upon me. And I'm like, and I turned back around and I said, "You get out of here. In the name of Jesus, flee. Because I am no longer the same. That God is in me. My God is in my heart." I go, "I don't have to cry to nobody but my Father." I turn around and "You get out, you pestilence, you evil thing. You have that power. You have that power in you. Whatever's disturbing you, get out. In the name of Jesus, get out." We don't have to live our lives. And in another instance, I was, and the Word of God, another thing, another word, the Word of God doesn't need to be debated. You don't need to be debating the Word of God out there. That's another thing I see a lot of Christians doing, trying to debate the Word of God. The Word of God just needs to be spoken because it's powerful. It's changed. It turned the world upside down. We don't need to be debating. I was sitting there with my neighbors one time, and half of them were believers and the other half weren't. And this, the non-believer was there just throwing trivial questions at them. "Well, what about this? Well, what about this?" And my brothers were there. They were just, you know, trying to find the words, and they're throwing scripture at them, and I'm just observing, you know, I'm just watching them go back and forth. And then the Spirit, you know, the Lord gives us the spirit of discernment. You go, "He doesn't want to learn. He's just throwing trivial questions, poking, provoking, provoking, provoking." So I'm sitting there, and after half hour of this going back and forth, he turns around and looks at me, my neighbor, "What do you think, Moses?" And then that family member looks at me like, I go, "First things first, have you given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you saved?" You couldn't find the exit fast enough. I go, "I'm not here to debate this." I go, "Have you given your life to Christ? Do you really want to know Christ?" He went to the other side of the barbecue. You know, we don't need to deal with that. You know, get down to basics. It's simple. It's simple. It was the craziest thing. And I go, "Lord, what do you want me to tell this guy?" You know, and my brothers, they were debating him and they're telling him scripture. I was just mocking them and all this and that. I'm like, we have those family members, right? We all have those. Amen. You know, and I'm like, so I just asked them, "Are you saved? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?" The rest of the day he was on the other side. The Word of God don't need to be debated. It don't. It just needs to be spoken. It just needs to be spoken. It's powerful. It's powerful. Because it's funny, you know. Jesus never had to debate Herod. Herod, when he was put before Herod, and Herod's like, "Hey, do some tricks. Heal this, do that." And Jesus just didn't do anything. Just be still. Just be still. So Herod said, "This guy's no fun. Send him up to Pilate." Pilate says, "Don't you know that I have the power to free you or crucify you?" Jesus says, "The only power you have is the power that's given to you from above. You have no power over me." That's how we got to live our lives. He didn't say much. He didn't have to say anything at all because he had all the power. We don't need to be debating these people. You know, if they want to know the truth, share the truth with them. The Holy Spirit will convict you and give you guidance and give you the words to speak. That's all we need to do. But repentance is the beginning. Repentance is the beginning of happiness and peace. No matter how hard it is. Stephen shared his heart last week, and it's not easy. We love every one of you because we have the Father in us. I know we have our quirks and we have our differences, but we are all children of God. And we love each and every one of you. When you have the Spirit of God in you, you see things different. You see the people for who they are. When you see a world hurting and in no direction, who are they going to look to if not to you? We proclaim to have the truth in us. We proclaim to have the love of the Father in us. We have a big responsibility when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. But we're not alone. We're not powerless. We are not. God is great. All the things that he's done for my family, all the things that I've seen that he's done with many of you that I know personally, your testimonies are powerful. Powerful. They impact the world. In Matthew 10:16, it says, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. But we Christians sometimes just want to be wise as serpents, and then we want to also have the bite of the serpent. We have to be careful. I used to get offended when they used to call us Christians sheep. Oh, you guys are all sheep. You guys are all sheep. Until last week and today, Psalms 23. He is the good shepherd. I shall not want. When you have a good shepherd, it doesn't matter if you're the sheep. It's always that wandering sheep that gets killed. It's always that rebel sheep that thinks he knows more and gets stuck in somewhere, and the shepherd has to pull him out. I didn't get that till now. You're always learning. God is always revealing. He's the good father. Yeah, you know, I get offended. I'm not a sheep. Especially in this country where we're taught to be independent. And we can do things on our own, you know. It's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, we have to give honor where honor is due. And who gave us the strength and the peace to go out there. Oh, you're just sheep. You're just sheep. Yes, but I have a good shepherd. I don't have any wants. I don't have any needs. I can lay my head on my pillow and not worry about tomorrow. If I wake up or not. I know if the Lord decides to take me now or 100 years from now, my family's going to be taken care of. Just like I was taken care of when my father was taken away. Every step of the way, looking back, I seen the Father's hand. It took me a while to see it. But I seen the Father's hand in every aspect of my life. And I can look back and say, that was you, God. Thank you. That was you, God. Thank you. And that's what brought me to repentance. From being mad at God to, thank you, Lord. But yeah, that's what we have to remember. We don't need the bite of the serpent. We need to be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove when we go out there and speak to the world. Doesn't need to be debated. It's already been spoken. The word has been spoken. And it's powerful, guys. It's powerful. in this world that is looking for answers, you have the answer. You have the truth. Speak it. All we are called to do is just plant the seed. Let God do the rest. Have there been times where I failed to do it? Yes. Have I felt bad? Yes. One of my good customers just this last week lost a son. And I would always, he'd come and talk to me every week. Hey, Moses, how's it going? And we would talk and we would talk and we would talk. He was in charge of the car wash. Moses, you want your truck washed today? Sure. Want me to drive it through? Sure. Or I'll be over there in a second. He'd always wash my car for free. And then I heard that he passed on. I'm like, what? 24 years old. I'm like, what? And then I started reeling bad. Did I talk to him? Did I say enough? Did I do enough? And I was like, man, did I? And it left the question in my heart. Did I do enough? Did I talk to him about the Lord? Did I tell him about the peace of God? Did I? And I start tracking it. I'm like, man, I'm in my mind. I'm going through and going through and going through. Yeah, we always crack jokes, talk silly. But I'm like, did I do my part? You know, and I don't know. I said, Lord, have mercy on me and on him. But those are the things we have to live with. And it rekindled an urgency in me to leave no doubt on who I talk to. All we are required to do is just plant the seed. Let the watering and the growing in the hands of God. If God calls you to water it, you water it. If God tells you to be more involved, you be more involved. But do not underestimate God's power and God's word. Because someone loved you enough to share the word with you. Share that with somebody else. That person didn't care if you were going to laugh at them, yell at them, mock them. They were brave enough to say, Jesus loves you. Do you want to know him as your personal savior? I'm like, what? What are you talking about? I go to church every day. Because I was brought up in the church. I was like, what? But have you accepted him as your personal savior? What are you talking about? I go to church every day. I'm saved. Amen, brother? Glenn laughing up there. You know, and especially us churchgoers, we're, like you say, we know the word really good to defend ourselves, to defend our sin. I did it very well. I used to know how to do it very well until that heart of repentance came in. But don't let these social issues scare you. Don't let anything scare you. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Well, love, peace, and a sound mind. I love that verse. A sound mind. We're not crazy. Our mind is good. Don't let them call you whatever you want, but know who you are in Christ. They can say whatever they want. They can say you're this, you're that, you're a hypocrite, you're this, you're this. You do the same things I do. Don't let them identify you. Don't let them identify you. The world is great at doing that. The world of no labels, but yet they love to label people. You're homophobic. You're racist. What are the ones? You're a liberal nut, you know. Hey, don't fall into that. Don't fall into that. Know your neighbor. Greet your neighbor. Invite them over for dinner. Show them the love, the peace. No matter how much you hate him. But enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself.
No matter what comes through, smile through it because you know who's in your heart. You can laugh at danger. You can laugh at your situation. Laugh at it because you know it's just the enemy trying to bring you down. Don't let him identify you. Don't. It's funny how the world can quote scripture when it benefits them. They bring out all the scriptures. You see them all coming out now. Oh, the atheists love to quote scripture. Hold us accountable to the scriptures when they don't believe in it. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? But don't let them do that. That's just craziness. It's silliness. You know, I know who I am in Christ. I know who I am anywhere that I walk. What? And it's a great feeling when you have that peace and that confidence, knowing that you can walk in a den of wolves and they can't do nothing to you. It says Daniel walked through the den of lions. They didn't do nothing to him. I walk in a different authority. When you have the authority of God, you're walking in another authority. That's heavenly authority. It's crazy because it makes no sense to our flesh and our mind, our reason. When a reason takes over, watch out. Because that was a great, I love reason. Oh, well, that doesn't make no sense. You know, you're trying to reason with it up here, trying to understand it with this instead of this. You'll go crazy. You'll go crazy if you start looking at the fleshly way. But don't get whatever topics are thrown out there. It's just distraction. My favorite word, fodder. Just fodder has no nutritional value. It's just something the cows choose on to make it feel full, but it has no nutritional value. Just something to make you feel full. Fodder. What's fodder? The farm, the dairyman said, oh, just something we can give them just to make them feel full. They don't have to eat as much. Like, has no nutritional value. I looked it up. Has no nutritional value, but it makes you feel full. The world. It's all the world offers. The next day, you're looking for it again. Has nothing good. Like my mom used to say, there's nothing good out there, son. What are you looking for? But I gotta look. But I gotta look. We've all been there. Well, I have to look. Don't do it. And then, whap, there it is. Thank God for repentance. Thank God for his peace. Thank God for his love. But yeah, it's... Remember the Good Shepherd. He's not going to leave you. Whatever you're going through right now in life, remember the Good Shepherd. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Good times, bad times. Remember the Shepherd. He's not going to mislead you. He's not a liar. My God is not a liar. He will lead you to greener pastures. He will prepare a table for your enemies too. Well, they all try to attack you, you'll be feasting comfortably. There's nothing that the Father won't give you that you need. The kingdom of God is at hand. Do you want it? Let's all stand. If you're looking for that peace, if you desire that peace, if you want to feel that love, come on forward. Let's all pray and just thank God that he's here. He's not going to deny us anything. If you want that peace, if you want just a warm hug, a warm embrace. I remember I was in Seaside, Oregon, and there's a hippie couple there. They had a sign, free hugs, and she's like, come and give me a hug, and I'm like, I grab Katie, I get all the hugs I want from my daughter. God is good. God is good. God is a God of peace and of love. If you want to feel that love and peace, come on up. Come on up. Let's just bask in his glory. There's nothing trivial. There's nothing. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Lord. We want to thank you and give you the honor and glory through the good times, the bad times, wherever situation we're in, Father God. We know that you're the good shepherd. We know that you're the God of peace and the God of love, kindness, meekness. I just ask right now, Father God, that your spirit just be quickened in each and every one of my brothers and sisters, Father God. They may feel your peace and your love and your joy, Lord Jesus, that only you can give. Not as the world gives, but as you give. It's a permanent gift. It's a gift that cannot be taken back, no matter what lie of the enemy comes forth. He can't take it away because you've given it. That peace and that joy, come on, my brothers, right now, Father. Let them feel your warmth. Whatever they're going through, that peace. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for everything. We thank you because you want to be a part of our lives. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because we are no longer going to walk timid. We're no longer going to walk afraid. We're going to walk as you called us to walk, forward, valiantly, knowing that you are there every step of the way. You are there before us, Lord Jesus. Just as the ark went before your people, Father God, we know you still go before us. You lit the way, Father God, in the night and the day. We know that you are here, Lord Jesus. And we just pray right now, Father God, for that peace, Lord Jesus, that this world is craving and looking for, that we have it, Lord Jesus, that we maybe go out and share it. Share it with the lost and dying world, Father God. And when it gives us that moment to speak, that your words be spoken and not ours, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you've given us, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask Brother James to pray for us too, Father God.
Father, we are so thankful, Father, for this great opportunity, Lord, in this house, Lord. Father, I feel such a spirit round today, Lord. I feel that some lives need to be touched, Lord. Father, you're the only one, Father, that can do that today. Sense it to the spirit. Just bask in it just for a moment. Just between you and God right now. You got something going on in your life today. God is here to take care of every need. You might have a situation in your home today. Something isn't going right in your home. The power of God is here today. God meet every need on every corner. Every situation, God is there with it. I believe that from my heart today. The power of God is gooder than gooder. The power of God resurrected from the best to the best. He's the one that's standing in the gap when nobody else can stand. Today I'm going to stand with the Savior of this world. And his name is not James Williams. His name is J-E-S. U.S., the most powerful tool that is in the earth today. I thank God for this woman in this wheelchair right now. We want to pray that God will touch her heart right now. I see she have the best tool in the world sitting in her lap right now. A tool is called the power of Jesus. God, I don't know these people's, Lord God, but you do. Father, I want some men's or women's or whatever, Lord. Come and stretch their hands towards this woman in this wheelchair. This wheelchair will be no more as you hit the kingdom of God. You're going to have that glorified body. No more chairs in that place. You're going to be shouting and jumping and rejoicing with the King of Kings. You hear what I'm saying? You're going to be rejoicing with the King of Kings when that day show up. Because our Father that's in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Amen. Father, I don't know your name, but God, reveal that name to me, Lord. What's your name, honey? Connie. God gave you that special name, didn't he? Connie. Amen. You're a child of God. God is not going to let you go no less. We got some hands laying up on you right now. We got some women that know how to get in touch with God. We know some women that can pray right now in the name of Jesus. And I want some men to come pray for this gentleman here. Man, what's your name, my brother? Jason. Amen. Men, come on and lay hands on Jason. Jason is a man from Boise State. But today he is in Jesus' estate. Jesus is your supernatural today. You might be in some pain or whatever, Lord, but I see tears coming from their eyes. They from tears of the love of God today. That's what those tears about. Is you're breaking for the man called Jesus today. The man that is going to bring you new life in your mortal soul today. The man that's going to stand you on a foundation that you never stood before. Do you believe that, my brother? You believe what God can do, right? Amen. I know you do, brother. I can see it all over your face right now. I pray, God, you change this man's life, Lord. Father, I don't know this man's life, Lord, but you do. God's going to reconstruct you, my brother. He's going to reconstruct you because he's the supernatural. He's all in all. I've been where you at, brother, but God grabbed a hold of me and brought me down to his level, for I can understand what's going on in life, because I did not know what was going on in life beyond these walls. But God is the ultimate of everything today. You need to stand on that right now. Get your hands up. Praise God. Come on, men, y'all lay some hands up on this brother. If you fall under the power of God, God's going to direct your path if you do fall. Amen. Father, right now, Lord God, he got a heart of you, Father, today. And Father, his heart, Lord, is going to be restored. And Father, today, as us men, Father, today, come together and pray without ceasing today. We want to pray new life into my brother. We want this home to be his home, a foundation in this place. But the devil cannot prevail against his home. That life will come within him, you today, with the power of Jesus right now, directing his path. Father, I love this man, Lord God, as you love him also. And Father, you guide him in this hour, in the supernatural. Father, I thank you for him right now, and he give you the praise and all the glory. You give him the shout today. Give him the thanks. He are the worthy to be thanks today. Amen. Father, I pray for the supernatural down in this woman too, Lord. I pray, Father, that she have your word in her lap today. Father, I can see what you have turning pages, Lord, and have been reading that powerful word within you today. Lord, you just touch her body also, Lord. Touch everything about her. And Lord, we thank you for these women that's praying also, Lord. And Father, we will let you do all what you got to do, God. All we're going to do, Father, we are just a vessel. But you are going to do the supernatural in these folks' life. And Father, we want to give God the glory. We want to give God the glory. We want to give God the glory. Somebody need to be clapping with me here. We need to give God the glory, because God is all what's going on here right now. Give him the supernatural today. Change your life and change your ways. Hallelujah. He's there. As the brother said, he is there in the supernatural. Amen. Everybody give him that clap offering right now. Ooh. Powerful word today that challenged hearts today. Powerful word. Amen.
Amen. Let's give a good clap offering to Jesus. Just another reminder, we're going to do the Africa offering until December 5th. And then I take it on the 6th is when we're going to send it off. We found a ring on the ground. Is anybody missing a ring? Looks like it's pretty expensive, so I'll just trade it in if nobody claims it. It's great. It's a lady's ring. Did you lose it? You want to come get it? I'll bring it to you. It's all right. Does anybody have any questions for Brother Moses real quick before we take off? I want to give that opportunity. Anything that he said, any questions? Something sparks. His number is 555-0123. Call him at 2 a.m. He would love it. Anyways, all right, guys. Be blessed, all right? If we could get some help putting the chairs back, that would be fantastic.